Peering around the corner, he made sure the major was gone before making a dash for the lift. He waited impatiently for the doors to open, then slipped inside and punched the button for G-Deck, hoping he wouldn't run into anyone else. Luck was with him. He didn't see anybody as he made his way from the elevator to the engine room's access hatch. Unlike the automated doors controlled by access panels, this was an old Durasteel hinge model, opened by turning a heavy wheel in the center of the hatch. The wheel was stiff from lack of use, and despite his best efforts, Theron couldn't budge it. He realized the maintenance crew probably used a wrench to gain the necessary leverage, but all he had was his pistol. He looked around the empty corridor, trying to find something else he could use. Seeing nothing, he shrugged and pulled the blaster from the holster on his hip, jamming it into the spokes of the door's wheel. Grabbing the pistol's grip with one hand and the barrel with the other, he pulled for all he was worth. The veins on his neck bulged as his muscles strained. Just as he thought he was about to pass out from the effort, the wheel let loose with a groan and moved a quarter turn. Theron adjusted his grip on the pistol and pulled again. The wheel moved more easily this time, another quarter turn. He regripped for a third time and pulled. The wheel completed its revolution, and the door popped open with a loud clang. Standing motionless, he waited to see if anyone would respond to the noise, but all he heard was the clanging alarm. When he removed the pistol from the spokes of the wheel, he noticed that the barrel had been bent. The weapon was useless. Out of habit, he slapped it into his leg holster, then stepped in through the hatch, pulling the heavy Durasteel door closed behind him. He turned the wheel on the inside a quarter turn, enough to keep the hatch from popping open, but not so far he'd have to struggle to open it when he was ready to get out. He was standing on a narrow metal walkway that ran the full 40-meter length of the engine room. To his left was a reinforced bulkhead. To his right, the Spear's massive hyperdrive and the enormous ion engines that propelled the ship when it moved at sublight speeds. The walls and ceiling were covered with a maze of pipes, tubes, cords, and wires running among hundreds of seemingly random placed electrical boxes, fuse panels, and computer chip relays. In addition to the alarms he could still hear and feel through the vibrations in the walkway, there was a steady, low-pitched hum coming from the ion engines. The air in the engine room was 20 degrees warmer than the corridor he had just come in from, and it smelled of ozone and burning plastic.
"If the heat doesn't make me pass out, the fumes just might," Theron thought.
There were no control panels down here in the bowels of the ship, but Theron knew he could slice the Spear by tapping directly into the main system. All he had to do was figure out which of the hundreds of wires and relays connected the engine room to the primary command console on the bridge.
"Shouldn't take more than a few hours, right?"
To his relief, the clanging alarms finally stopped. The blessed silence was broken by two long blasts from a distant horn, and the ground shifted under his feet as the Ascendant Spear disengaged from Reaver Station.
"Guess you're not leaving anytime soon," he thought. "Might as well get to work."